what a chance of fall, chance of showers in the afternoon, with variable high cloudiness, gusty winds at times around the corner of Sunset and Alvarado. Yeah, I know. Things are tough all over.
Things are getting tougher, ladies and gentlemen, but we're back. We're going to help you make them less difficult, and we're going to try to inform and impress you with the facts that we've been able to uncover here. We're going to continue with my partner and friend, Eric Huffschmidt, and my research partner, Christopher. Chris, welcome.
Hi.
How you feeling?
A little bit better. Things are good.
Well, Eric and I have been talking about deception, talking about why these folks don't want us digging out the truth about what they've got planned for us, because the truth, in fact, if you look into it, is pretty horrendous, isn't it?
It involves the annihilation of the Gentile races.
It does, doesn't it? I mean, look, what I've been able to look into here, and I can, you know, I'm a rational guy. That sounds like a crazy statement, Chris.
Well, let me quote from them, because it is a crazy statement. And I'm going to give detailed references, which may get a little laborious, but I think it's necessary that people be able to verify this for themselves before they believe it. In the Soferim, chapter 15, rule 10, it states, quoting Simon ben Yohai, "The best among the Gentiles deserves to be killed." That is a quotation from an article in the Jewish Encyclopedia, Gentile, Volume 5, Funk and Wagnalls Company, New York, 1903, printed pages 615 to 626 at page 617. You can also find it in A. Cohen, Soferim 41a, the minor tractates of the Talmud, Masechot Katanot in two volumes. Volume 1, the Socino Press, London, 1965, printed pages 287 to 288, especially see note 50.
That states clearly that we, even our best, even the best among the Esau or the Goyim or the Gentiles should be put to death.
Yes.
Now, as for them fomenting a new Messiah to come onto our earth and then destroy things, you've got other references to this, don't you?
Oh, I've got countless references. You mentioned the Lubavitchers.
Yes.
There was an article by Alan Nadler entitled "Last Exit to Brooklyn: The Lubavitchers' Powerful and Preposterous Messianism." It was published in the New Republic, the edition of 4 May 1992, printed pages 27 to 35. I quote from page 33, which appears to quote from R. A. Foxbrunner, Chabad, the Hasidism of R. Schneur Thulman of Liadi, University of Alabama Press, Tuscaloosa, Alabama, 1992. Quote, "Gentile souls are of a completely different and inferior order. They are totally evil with no redeeming qualities whatsoever. Consequently, reference to Gentiles in Rabbi Schneur Zalman's teachings are invariably invidious. Their material abundance derives from supernal refuge. Indeed, they themselves derive from refuse, which is why they are more numerous than the Jews, as the pieces of chaff outnumber the kernels. All Jews were innately good, all Gentiles innately evil. Jews were the pinnacle of creation and served the Creator. Gentiles, its matter, and worship the heavenly hosts." A quote from Rabbi Abraham Isaac Cook, who wrote in the 20th century that the difference between the Israelite soul and the souls of all non-Jews, no matter what their level, is bigger and deeper than the difference between the human soul and the animal soul. That was quoted by Y. Schellig in his article, A Dark Reminder of the Dark Ages, published on Haaretz.com, 28 June 2005.
So what we've got here is we've got institutional racism and hatred.
Genocidal racism.
Genocidal racism. Now, let's move to the next thing here about their planning for this. We do know that they on their website they're talking about the Messiah has arrived, are paving the way for him to come, haven't they not?
Yes, they have. I believe that Rebbe Schneerson has declared before he died that the Messiah was among us, which means that these are the end times. The apocalypse will happen now. The tribulations in Israel shall occur, and there shall be world wars which will destroy all the nations, and only Israel will remain standing, and the Jews will rule from Jerusalem in Israel, and all law will issue forth from the temple which they will reconstruct. All
now,
the gold on earth will be brought to Jerusalem. All the jewels and diamonds will be brought to Jerusalem. And all people will have to serve Jews or be annihilated.
Okay, now what means do they have to bring this forth financially and in the media and everything? They have the financial resources to do this, don't they?
They are wealthier than most nations.
Wealthier than all nations combined, as far as my math goes.
Might well be. It might well be. And certainly that kind of concentrated wealth is more powerful than the power of any given nation.
Well, they've been able to implode Russia. They've been able to implode France. They were able to implode under Cornwallis, the British. They're doing it now with George W. Bush to the Americans. And this time in the American implosion, they're using our own military to further their goals, and then they're going to implode our country and pick through us like the carcass of a dead animal.
All this has been prophesied. All they are doing is simply carrying out what they view as their racial instructions in the Old Testament.
Eric, what do you think about this, Eric?
Well, I agree. I mean, that's exactly what they seem to be doing. And you know, when you mentioned how we're worse than animals, what a lot of the Jews don't realize is some of the people that call themselves Jews are not accepted by these people either. Because I know someone, his family grew up in Berlin. His father was Jewish, but his mother wasn't. And after the war was over, they ended up leaving. They never got picked up, by the way, by the Nazis. They lived right through Berlin the whole time. They were discriminated against, you could say. But anyway, so after the war, they ended up going, you know, one country to another, ended up in Israel for a while in the 50s. And he says that's when they got more discrimination than he's ever seen before, because they were not accepted. They were not true Jews. You know, a lot of the Jews think, well, I'm accepted because I'm a Jew. Well, the half-Jews are not, they might be better than a Goyim, but they're not accepted. A lot of them are just going to be used just like the rest of us. They're fools to join this movement.
Half-Jews and assimilated Jews in some eyes may be considered even worse than Goyim, because they are a threat to the racial purity of the alleged racial purity of the Jewish race, which does not exist. And whenever you have racists, they always tend to further categorize and subdivide human beings based upon arbitrary standards which favor whoever is in power and whatever political aims they seek. Just the way the Nazis broke down people into blonde-haired and black-haired, even among the so-called Aryans, you have in Israel terrible racism against fellow Jews, against Sephardic Jews and Coptic Jews. The Ethiopian Coptics were not permitted the right of return, had to go through all kinds of legal battles to gain it, and are terribly discriminated against for no reason whatsoever. It's a horrific world they're building.
Yeah, and didn't they murder 30 or 40,000 children with radiation?
I've heard that with Ben-Gurion, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Ladies and gentlemen, we're gonna rip this can open, and we're gonna lay bare these facts. These are facts. They're cited. They're provable. We don't lie on this program, ladies and gentlemen. And we want to protect the rest of this world from these evil, evil humans. Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. Darryl Bradford Smith, your host. This is The French Connection. Bienvenue à tout le monde. And we are here speaking with Eric, and we're speaking with my friend Christopher, who has been doing tireless research over a long period of time. And as he's done his research, he has come to the final conclusion that they are planning a Holocaust event for humanity using a possible nuclear weapons to do it with. But you want to go on with some other evidences that you've been able to uncover, Chris?
Well, I can relate to the Zohar, its anti-Christian passages. I can relate to the genocidal passages of the Old Testament, which refer to the destruction of the Gentiles who must be utterly exterminated to the last man, woman, and child, whichever you would prefer among those.
Which one do you want to go with? You pick it.
Well, for the Christians out there, they may, and the Mohammedans out there, there was a good book written by Gustav Dahlmann entitled Jesus Christ in the Talmud, Midrash, Zohar, and the Liturgy of the Synagogue. It was published by Dayton Bell, Cambridge, 1893. It was republished by Arnold Press in 1973. And I will quote from page 40, which cites the Zohar, volume 3, 282a. From the idolatry of Shebatai is called Lilith, mixed dung, on account of the filth mixed from all kinds of dirt and worms, into which they throw dead dogs and dead asses, the sons of Esau and Ishmael. And there Jesus and Muhammad, who are dead dogs, are buried among them. She, Lilith, is the grave of idolatry, where they bury the uncircumcised, who are dead dogs, abomination and bad smell, soiled and fetid, a bad family. She, Lilith, is the ligament which holds fast the mixed multitude. Exodus chapter 12, verse 38, which is mixed among Israel, and which holds fast bone and flesh, that is, the sons of Esau and Ishmael, dead bone and unclean flesh, torn of beasts in the field, of which it is said, Exodus 22:31, ye shall cast it to the dogs. Now, when they refer to Esau and Ishmael, they are referring to Christian Gentiles and to Islam. Esau, because he was the brother of Jacob, and Jacob stole the covenant from him, refers to Christian Gentiles. Ishmael, who was the brother of Isaac, is said by Islam to have inherited the covenant from Abraham instead of Isaac, since Ishmael was the true firstborn of Abraham. So when Jewish racists refer to Ishmael, they are referring to Islam.
So we are scum as far as their passages are concerned.
When we die, they throw us on a poop heap, is what they're saying.
Uh-huh. Beautiful stuff, isn't it?
This
goes beyond. I mean, why have the Christian community worked together with these monsters?
Because they've been subverted by Kabbalist Jews throughout history. I think the Protestant movement was initiated by Kabbalist Jews to subvert the Catholic Church and was quite successful. At one time, the Catholic Church essentially ruled Europe, and through the work of Kabbalist Jews, that empire was completely destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And they had all kinds of books calling the Pope the Antichrist, calling the Russian Tsar the Antichrist, calling the Turkish Sultan the Antichrist, and trying to foment hatred among Christians against these groups while deflecting it from themselves, and while corrupting Christianity to pursue the false notion that the Jewish Messiah will be the return of the Jesus Messiah. And I think they are about to implement's the wrong word. I think they are about to anoint their Messiah.
Now, what does that mean for us? Let's define terms here. By definition, a Jewish Messiah of this type is anti-Christ.
By Christian definition, yes, not by Jewish definition. And there's many stark distinctions between the Christian anointed king, the Messiah Christ, and the Jewish conception of the Messiah. In the Jewish conception, he is not really a divine being, but is a regular human being descended from the house of David, who becomes the anointed king of the Jews, rules with an iron scepter, smashes the nations, destroys all religions, and issues forth the law out of Jerusalem. But he is given divine power because the Lord will manifest himself in Jerusalem, and all laws will issue forth from Mount Zion. It's very different from the Christian conception, which is why many Jews cannot accept that Christ represented the Messiah. But Christians should not be misled into believing that this Messiah, whom the Jews are about to anoint, is their Messiah.
And so it goes. So, Eric, what do you got to say? Come on, we got. You're sitting here listening to this.
Well, what this brings up to me is that, you know, for a long time I get this, and I'm sure you get this. You know, what we're saying often and how we treat people is going to chase away a lot of the dumb people. You know, the dumb people are not even going to be able to understand what Chris is saying, what I'm saying, what you're saying. They're not going to be able to do anything to even stop this. You know, we're not going to solve the problem with people dressed up in Klingon outfits, people who can't even see that Wayne Mattson is lying to us. You know, we're just going to become victims once again, just like we saw in the World Wars, just like those people in Europe. We've got to reach people with some intelligence here and with some respectability. And that's why I don't care if I chase away, you know, some of the nitwits, because they're not even going to understand this. And the other thing you have to remember is a lot of people would say, well, why would Israel even create such chaos? Because they might suffer themselves. What you have to remember is when there's chaos, and it doesn't matter whether it's for animals, for plants, or humans, when there's chaos, who's going to suffer the most? The morons, the physically and mentally defective. And if our nation doesn't get some better people, even though it's a big nation, we could still be victims. We've got to get some people with some brains in here and some respectability. Because otherwise a small handful of more intelligent people just can wipe us all out. Just like that expression, in the land of the blind, you know, the one-eyed is king. And that's what we've got going on here. The average person, they're not listening to us. They're listening to Paris Hilton. They're listening to Pat Robertson. They're listening to Britney Spears, John Kerry, George Bush. You know, they've got choices, and look at who they're picking. We're not going to solve any of these problems with those people. That's why I say, don't worry about them. Reach the more intelligent crowd.
There you go. What do you think of that, Chris?
More intelligent and more courageous.
I'm more courageous.
Because
I agree with both of those statements.
The ultimate goal is to weaken the blood of Esau, which will mean killing off the most intelligent and the most creative and the most courageous, which is what they did to the Russian population, what they attempted to do to the German population, what they thought they were doing to the French population under Napoleon. They sent in the best of the French young men and had them slaughtered wholesale, which they knew and wrote about, degenerated the genetic qualities of their ancient enemy, Esau.
Well, they're doing that to America, too. You know, and I think, if you want my opinion, I think if you look behind the abortion movement, they're pushing that, too. They want more orphans, more retards. They are trying to destroy this nation.
Yes, they are. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, we're gonna bring this bring another chapter here to this fight. Stick with us. We've got Chris and Eric and Daryl Bradford Smith. More to come. Gentlemen, we're back. We've got to make a qualifying statement here, gentlemen. You know, I know that 50% of the Jewish community in America has married outside of their faith. Many of them are not even regular attendees of a synagogue and know very little about Zohar or Kabbalah and the rest of it. And I will not permit these innocents to be swept up in what I think is going to ultimately be a backlash against this community, because I don't see this this thing winning. I see it falling apart on them, but with awful consequences for all of us. And I see a lot of death and destruction as a result of what they've done, but I certainly do not want innocence to be brought in. So we must make sure that all Jews are not thrown into the same boat with these horrible criminal and megalomaniac madmen.
Amen.
Amen.
And
how about you, Eric? How do you feel about it?
Oh yeah, I know. A lot of them, the ones around me, they don't know what's going on either. They're not even. In fact, the ones I know are married outside their race.
Well, that's
so,
right.
Numerically, the Jews in America aren't the problem. It's Christian fundamentalist Zionists who have been swept up into this movement, who far outnumber Jews not only in percentages but in sheer numbers, and they have to be brought back to the facts.
Well, that's right. Not back to the fold, to the facts. We're laying it out here. These people have been sold a line of crud, crudola, And the facts are, ladies and gentlemen, as Christopher pointed out, that they have nothing but horror in store for us. Do you have more quotes, Chris, that will punctuate these statements?
Well, it occurs to me that people would have greatest access to the Bible above all other documents. So let me quote a few biblical passages. Micah chapter 5, verse 8 states, "And the remnant of Jacob," and Jacob signifies the Jews, "shall be among the Gentiles in the midst of many people as a lion among the beasts of the forest, as a young lion among the flocks of sheep, who, if he go through, both treadeth down and teareth in pieces, and none can deliver." Numbers chapter 24, verses 17 through 20 says, "I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. And Edom shall be a possession. Seir shall also shall be a possession for his enemies, and Israel shall do valiantly. Out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion, and shall destroy him that remaineth of the city. And when he looked on Amalek, he took up his parable and said, Amalek was the first of the nations, but his latter end shall be that he perish forever. Amalek refers to the Gentiles among modern racist Jews. Exodus chapter 14, verses 14, chapter 17, verses 14 through 16. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. And for he said, Because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation." Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 19. "Therefore it shall be, when the Lord thy God hath given thee rest from all thine enemies round about, in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it, that thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Thou shalt not forget it." That means that the Jews are commanded to destroy all Gentile races when they have been established in Israel. And that is the way that these passages have been interpreted in the Zohar and in other Jewish writings over the many centuries since they were written.
And see, here's the thing that brings it into the reality realm now. They have manifested this stuff in reality today with their media control, with their financial control. They control our banking. They control our media. They control our legal system. They control our Congress through PAC money and through direct involvement. They do it through subversion. They do it through clandestine and lying, including, Christopher, saying that they're not even Jewish and then turning out to be Jewish, such as John Kerry.
Well, I don't know about John Kerry.
John Forbes Kerry has come out and admitted he's Jewish.
Well, there's nothing wrong with being Jewish.
No, there isn't, but there is if you're what they call crypto-Jew, and if you go to with Wikipedia and the Jewish encyclopedia, there is a passage for what's called a crypto-Jew. It is somebody who melds himself into a society and becomes part of that society in the surface, but under the surface he remains Jewish and remains tied to the doctrines that you've just enunciated here in these previous statements.
The danger is not that he's Jewish, but that I won't talk about him, but crypto-Jews are pursuing the messianic prophecies and seek to undermine other peoples and other churches. And this has been expressly stated by them on numerous occasions among the crypto-Jews known as Muranos in Spain, among the crypto-Jews known as Frankists in Poland, among the crypto-Jews known as Bolsheviks in Russia.
Among the crypto-Jews called Young Turks in Turkey?
Absolutely, and there are probably many of them in the Franklin Delano Roosevelt administration as well, trying to bring about the destruction of all religions and all nations. That is their ultimate goal. It's a messianic prophecy, and they will use any kind of deception. The deception they most often use is quasi-liberalism, where they insist that societies free up all rights for all citizens so that they can then buy up the media and corrupt those societies and place crypto Jews and other people under their control and power, and then subvert the cultures and destroy them.
Exactly what they've done to the United States.
I believe so, yes, and I believe it's intentional, and I believe they want to destroy Christianity so that Gentiles will lose favor in the eyes of God and that the covenant will be destroyed to the Jewish people who they are now trying to make righteous. This is prophesied, and all this is sought after and uttered expressly by them.
Powerful stuff, isn't it?
Frightening stuff, I would say.
Scary. And it's going to be manifest through this next attack as well, I believe, in Iran, because that's one of the legs of the table that they need to get in shape here, because Greater Israel needs to eliminate all threats around it, don't they?
Yes, they do, and the Book of Esther is the story of a crypto-Jew who had the king of Persia undermined by concealing her identity as Esther, which means to be hidden, and her real name was Hadassah, and she attained control over the Persian kingdom, and the Persians had freed the Jews from the Babylonian captive exile, and yet she betrayed them and used them as a force to destroy other people, and I believe that's what's happening in Iran today. The exact same process.
Well, you know, not Ted Pike. Ray McGovern made a very, very telling statement. America has no treaties with Israel.
America can't have treaties with Israel because Israel is supposed to be the dominant nation and all laws should issue forth from Israel. There can be no treaties with Israel. Israel is the representation of the Lord to the Jews.
Ladies and gentlemen, are you wrapping your brain around just how serious this all is? I hope so, because I certainly am, and so's Christopher, so's Eric, and so are many others. Time to get moving. We'll be right back. And ladies and gentlemen, we're back. I got to ask Eric on this one. Eric, I've been begging people to take this stuff seriously because we're in the fight for our lives and the lives of our children and our country and our world. And I'm begging people, and I have begged them to go and bring one person to these facts, listen to these audio files, and understand that this stuff is not my musings. They are happening as we speak, and each and every American and each and every person on this planet needs to wake up to these facts immediately. What do you think, Eric?
Well, yes, and some of the audio files will really help them, like the Benjamin Friedman one. I know that one works. Because people, what they have to do is look at the world wars, and you'll see, you know, these things are not coming from Catholic priests. They're not coming from the Bush family. It's not coming from Jesuits or aliens. There's a reason for this stuff, and look at it. Look at the evidence. It's overwhelming, and that we are being set up for the next disaster. And if you listen to some of these speeches, just burn them to a CD, hand them to people, make them listen to it. It's the only way we can do it. But remember, try to reach the intelligent ones, not the ones that are going to wander off and start listening to Tom Flacco and all the rest of this nonsense. We've got to reach people who can actually do something.
There you go. What do you think of that, Chris?
I agree, and I think people ought to read, at a minimum, Deuteronomy, Isaiah, and Ezekiel to know what's in store for them. Whether they are Jewish, Christian, Muslim, whatever, they should understand the mythologies that these people are pursuing, which could ultimately result in their enslavement and destruction.
Well, let's remind the Muslim community that's listening who killed Muhammad.
Well,
he was poisoned.
That I don't know.
He was poisoned by a Jewish woman that brought him poison, and he later forgave her for it before he died. It was one of the last acts of this man. And why I'm bringing that up today is as they've drawn pictures of Muhammad here in France and Denmark with missiles coming out of his turban, and they're painting him as a murdering marauder around the world. And it was in all the newspapers on this cartoon thing that this man, Muhammad, represented murder and mayhem.
That's
right. And that's why I'm bringing it up right now.
Reckless, dangerous, vicious nonsense.
Beyond anything rational.
Insightful, hateful garbage has no place in modern society.
And that's exactly what they've done here.
I know it. And they're setting it up. And I don't think we should fall prey to it. I don't think we should get into a religious war. We should get into a war of the truth and understanding and identifying their mythologies and how they're going to be used against us.
Yeah.
They're trying to lead us into a religious war because that fits in with their mythologies, and I don't think we ought to take the bait.
Absolutely not.
We ought to point out what they're doing is reprehensible. It does not represent the vast majority of Christians. It does not represent the vast majority of Jews. And the people of Islam have been wonderful people for more than 1,000 years, and it's terrible to vilify them that way.
Well, you see, they don't have any compunction or resistance to murder. Look what they did last century. Look what they've done over the last several centuries to get these eventualities into the fore. I mean, look what they did with Napoleon. Look how many murders were committed by his armies in on behalf of these people. Look what they did under the Jacobins. Look what they've done over and over and over again. It's just astonishingly brutal beyond anything my brain can wrap itself around.
It's worse than murder. It's human sacrifice. There are many writings which describe wars as means of attaining massive human sacrifices in order to gain supernatural powers. And as ludicrous as that is on its face, they actually believe it. And human sacrifice in the people of Judea is nothing new. The whole story from Abraham onwards is one of human sacrifice. One could even see the sacrifice of Jesus as a human sacrifice. That's the danger of their wanting to reestablish animal sacrifices. For a Christian, the sacrifice was made by Jesus, and the Jews should attain righteousness instead of perpetuating animal sacrifices. It's a real mess, trust me. If you look into it, you'll see that it's true and that it's coming and that this is not happening by divine providence. This is happening by the active organization and collusion of psychopaths who have a lot of money and a lot of power and are drunk with religion and are thirsty for blood. And it's coming. They're setting up for it.
There's one other thing to remember, though. They don't do many of the killings. They get the foolish goyim to do it for them.
That's
through
prophecy.
Deception.
It's prophecy. They're told to do that in their prophecy.
Yeah, but they're getting the Americans to kill the Arabs right now. And during the world wars, they got the Europeans to do it. They're manipulating enormous amounts of people, using them as fools. It's the deception that people have really got to open their eyes to, and because they get other people to do the dirty work, a lot of the dirty work.
Jews have always tried to remain hidden, and it's their belief. Kabbalist Jews believe that God is hidden in everything. God is pantheistic and hidden, and that you have to transcend to see it. And they see the people of Israel as symbolic of God, so they want to remain hidden among things, causing all things to happen so that it's not apparent to the goyim that they are the motive force behind it.
Well, and a motive force or not, we're a force majeure here. Mesdames et messieurs, tout de suite on va continuer. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back after these messages. And we're right back, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to go right back into this. I got a call from Chris. Chris in Tennessee. Chris, you're on the air with...
Hey, guys.
What's up? Hey, got a question?
Well, I just had a couple of 3 points. You guys are... Man, this is... I almost didn't want to call in because I just wanted to sit and listen because this is such a great show here. You've got Eric and Chris. And geez, that's a pretty potent combination there. Anyway, just 3 quick points, and I'll hang up and let you guys finish out. Eric mentioned the going and they're being manipulated to do dirty work, and that kind of sums up the whole entire last century of all the wars and the current war that we're in right now.
Right, it does.
And you mentioned about waking people up. I think that we're probably... And woken up about as many we're going to wake up. I think we need to shake the dust off our feet and move on and try to do the best that we can because we have a responsibility at being enlightened to this nature of evil to do what we can to fight it. And Chris, man, it's just it's like listening to a biblical encyclopedia when this guy talks. I can't write fast enough to keep up with the notes. But he mentioned some scriptures, and there's just one scripture I want to leave you guys with, and well, a couple is Revelation 12:9. And it says, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." So that kind of tells me the world that we live in, and I think God is knows, is all knowing, and he. There's so much wisdom to be found in the Bible, and when he says that money is at the root of all evil, you know, I kind of get that gist when I listen to subject matter today with all you guys and your great insight.
Well, I want to thank you for doing that because we got like 1 minute left, and I got to give my guests a chance to say goodbye. But thank you very much, Christopher. I know you're a regular listener, and I appreciate it. We are at war with these people. And make no mistake about it, the war has been declared on the French Connection, and we are at full-scale operations, ladies and gentlemen. We are at war with these people. Make no mistake about it. That is what I have declared today, and we are going to stop them one way or another because we cannot afford to fail. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you, Joe.
Ladies and gentlemen, now, we're going to go right back now to Eric. Eric, you got a closing statement for my for our audience here?
Well, yeah, the issue of the crypto Jew brings up another reason why we should be investigating all these people. And then you mentioned how Judy Andreas contacted you. Anybody who gets contacted by any of these people should, if you don't know who they are, you should be asking, who are they? Don't be afraid to ask. Don't be intimidated by these people. Anybody in the so-called truth movement, you ought to know who they are, who their connections are. Especially if you start getting contacted by these same people that are out there by contacting and manipulating.
Just look at the network. Who hooks, who links to who and why? Just do it. It's simple math, guys. This is not rocket science. Christopher, you got a closing statement?
Yes. Don't trust anything I say. Look into it for yourself. Find out for yourself. It's the only way you're going to believe anything as extraordinary as this.
This is extraordinary. We're in extraordinary times. It's time for people with great courage to stand up and save those that cannot save themselves. This is what our job is as caring and sentient human beings. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the French Connection. We are the place to find out what is happening on our planet, and we'll be back tomorrow with more truth for you.